Trout Tale number 3, short story number 140 by Larry Vardaman. This is the third of three stories in a series I've decided to share about my adventures in trout fishing. This third story occurred on the Colorado River, about 50 miles downstream from Lee's Ferry, but above the Little Colorado in northern Arizona. I was one of the leaders on a week-long raft trip from Lee's Ferry, Arizona, down Marble Gorge, through Grand Canyon National Park to Peach Springs, led by several scientists from the Institute for Creation Research, to show evidence for the catastrophic global flood described in the Bible. The canyon is the premier location for bringing scientists, graduate students, and interested laypeople to literally put their hands on the Great Unconformity, the interface between the pre-flood world and the world of today. The tours, sponsored by ICR, were a life-changing event in many people's lives. The drama of riding Class 10 rapids on the Colorado River, being a mile deep between sheer vertical walls, camping for a week with a group of 30 like-minded explorers, and sitting under the teachings of some of the world's leading creationist scientists was a profound experience. On one of the ICR raft trips, I decided to carry with me a collapsible fly rod and a few flies to try my hand at catching the Wiley Rainbow at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. On the second evening of the trip, about 50 miles downstream from Lee's Ferry, I had my chance. We beached the rafts about 4 p.m. This gave me about 90 minutes to fish while the boatmen were preparing dinner and before the light faded on the river deep in the gorge. I located my gear and headed upstream to look for fishing spots along the river. The Colorado River runs deep and wide through Marble Canyon and the National Park. It's over 100 feet wide in many places, and the water flows 20 to 30 miles an hour in the narrow spots through the rapids. The water is generally bluish-green and cold because it issues from the bottom of the Glen Canyon Dam about 60 miles upstream near Page, Arizona. The next evening would be much poorer fishing because muddy water from the Little Colorado River mixes with the main stream a few miles downstream from where I was, turning the river reddish-brown, reflecting the Mexican name Colorado. Finding a likely spot for fly fishing along this big, rapidly moving river is a real challenge. I had brought two flies and one spinner in case I had to resort to fishing the main current. As I walked my way upstream along the bank, I tossed a tentative cast into the edge of the river, realizing this wasn't my kind of water. As I mentioned earlier, I like small, quiet water. This was really big, noisy, and dangerous water. On the third cast, my fly submerged into the water, hung up, and I lost one of my two dry flies. I attached a new fly and reduced the size of the shot on the leader to keep the fly higher in the water. After another few casts, I came around a small bend and came upon two kayakers camped in a tent. I noticed as I approached their campsite that the best fishing spot along this side of the river was directly in front of their camp. The campers came out of their tent as I walked by and greeted me with exaggerated bluster. It was obvious they had been celebrating for a while and offered me a beer. I said thanks, but I only had a few minutes remaining before it would be too dark to fish. They seemed a little miffed that I declined their drink and began ranting about the motors on our rafts fouling the air and water with smoke and oil. It was obvious I had run into some disgruntled friends of the river and decided my best option was to just keep on walking. I took a wistful look at the good fishing location by their camp and continued on upstream. The spot in front of their camp I thought might hold a fish was a small spit of land that jutted out from the shore, where a permanent eddy swirled in from the river on one side and out on the other. It seemed like a natural location for a trout to wait for food to drift toward him. Oh well, it wasn't worth the potential confrontation. I continued upstream, flicking my remaining fly into the edge of the river, as the light faded and the opportunities became worse and worse. Then I caught one small trout that was about 8 inches. I threw him back and immediately caught another. He was only 6 inches, and I tossed him back as well. Then I caught nothing for about 10 minutes until I hooked something sizable. It turned out to be the bottom. I pulled gently, then harder, and soon realized my fly wasn't coming loose. My line finally broke, and I lost my last fly. Okay, it was time to return to camp for dinner. But wait a minute, if I tied my spinner on, I could at least toss it into the current as I walked along the edge. With an outside chance, a nice trout might be attracted by the flash of the spinner. It was an ugly setup, a fly rod, a short leader, and a spinner with a treble hook. How hokey can you get? I had forgotten my detractors were still at their campsite on the way back. As I walked past their tent, they reemerged, inebriated even more, took one look at my gear, and began to ridicule me. I attempted to explain that I had lost my last fly and had geared up with the only tackle I had left. They continued to belittle my fishing prowess, so I didn't figure I had anything to lose. I said, "You guys know you've got the most likely place along this side of the river to catch a trout, right here in front of your tent. Would you mind if I just give it a try for a few minutes?" They went into hysterics. One of them said, "You're going to catch a trout on that rig? This I got to see. In fact, we'll stand right here and watch. This ought to be good." So I walked quietly over to the head of the eddy and tossed my spinner out about 10 feet from the bank and began to reel it in slowly. The spinner moved less than 3 feet toward me, and I felt a strong pull on my line. I jerked the pole quickly to set the hook and had a battle on my hands less than 8 feet from shore. The fish jumped, dove, and then jumped again. Because he was so close to me, I had no room to play him, but simply lifted him out of the water and dropped him onto the rocks. I couldn't believe it. In front of me and my astonished critics was a beautiful red, yellow, and green rainbow trout, over 18 inches long. He was tall and thin, so he only weighed about 3 pounds. If he had been well fed, he probably would have weighed 5 pounds. But he was big enough to elicit a howl of outrage from the two campers. They turned away angrily, walked into their tent, and zipped the flap. Like the other two trout stories I've told, I had a decision to make. Should I keep him and return to camp, or should I return him to the river? I thought about this seriously for several minutes. There were 30 people back in camp. My fish wouldn't feed many people, but I wasn't about to give him to the two campers. The rainbow looked like he needed more nourishment. Maybe if I threw him back, he might become a real trophy fish by the next time someone caught him. So, without any regret, I bid him adieu and tossed him back into the Colorado. On the way back to camp, I realized I had the freedom to report my fish as any size I chose, possibly up to 10 pounds, since I didn't return to camp with him. But that didn't turn out to be an issue. I had a difficult time getting anyone to believe I'd even caught a fish, let alone a 3-pound, 18-inch rainbow.